Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, once again, we come, Lord, that we might feast. Lord, that you might feed us, Lord, of the spiritual food that you've sent down in this last day. Lord, you didn't just send it, but you came, Lord, to deliver it yourself. We thank you and praise you. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts now. Lead us and guide us in the furtherance of the service, Lord, and we thank you for the words that have been spoken thus far, the songs of worship to you, Lord. May you just have your way now. Help us and guide us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are happy to be here. And we do congratulate Brother Michael and Sister Amanda on 18 years. That's pretty awesome. And so I tell you, this day and age, it's like 2 years. You can be seated. I'm sorry. That is definitely a milestone in this day and time. And we know it's because when you have an anchor and you have a rock, then the Lord is what holds it together. And we thank God for that. And so we're missing Rebecca tonight, and so we want to continue to pray for our sister, and that the Lord will touch her and just strengthen her and heal her. And we've known her since Michael's mother, ever since Michael was a little boy. And I think about those days. Now we're all the same, but I guess we're not, because I was a grown-up when they were children, and now they're grown up, and we're all here together, and I think, I just must be really older than I think, and so, we thank God. Amen. And so we want to continue to pray. We're missing Emily, and we haven't seen her for a while now, a few services, and we're praying for her and the children. Lord will touch them and bless them. And so let us just get right into the message now. And I want to say this before I get started. I had a lot of quotes in the message, Invisible Union. And Brother Branham, as he goes into that message, you know he's going there to preach on true justification. But you notice that his title is Invisible Union. That there's something taking place. And so, and then he goes, you know, right on into the supernatural rapture just a few days later, a week later. And so in this message, in Invisible Union, all the time he's pointing out, and I skipped a lot of it in the last message, thinking that I would just take a message on it. But in the very beginning, as we got into the message, he was talking about God adding a new part of the book in every age. And the things that God is doing and how he's adding. And he made a lot of comments about the seven seals, the unfolding of the mysteries. And so he just kept weaving that in and weaving it in and weaving it in. And so after we got into it, I thought, I'm just going to wait and read those quotes at the end. So that as we're taking true justification, we'll read more of those quotes together. And so then just at the last minute, I thought, it's almost all talking about the seals and the message and messenger. And so I thought I would just change the title. And so I did. And so we put it, The Calling Out of the Bride. And so we're gonna read here now. We're going to start in the message, Trying to Do God a Service Without It Being His Will. And those messages, after true justification, after Invisible Union was preached, he reiterates these things over and over in the next messages. And so trying to do God a service was one of them, and works as faith expressed is one of them, the rapture, things that are to be, even communion, all of those messages after Invisible Union, he's referring back, and he's talking about it, and he's talking about even in the altar call, trying to get people to come, he's telling them, if you haven't been justified as though you never did it in the first place, then come and accept him. and recognize him and believe him. And so there was something that took place in that revelation that he continually pointed the people to after that. He kept pointing them back that this is a thing that now you have truly been justified and you didn't do it in the first place. So, but now as we go in here, he's going to talk about how these things come about. Now notice in this now, David thought he had everything in order and he was inspired. And see how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man, but it's got to be in the order of the anointing. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Ghost and the soul as pitch, dark as pitch. The cucklebur grows on the same water, see, that puts life into the wheat. But life puts life into the cucklebur. See, the same life in the wheat, same life, both watered by the same water. But at the bottom of the cucklebur, it's a cucklebur life. It's rejoicing and blooming, got life and doing everything that the wheat does. But the soul of it is a cucklebur. But just, I want to just point out something though. David was seed. David was elect. And so David got inspired wrongly. And so he went the wrong way. He did not consult the prophet. And so God, that's the difference in the bride and the church today. That's the difference in the elect and in all of the message churches, is the bride consults the prophet. The bride consults the revelation of this day. Not the traditional idea, not the creed, not the theology. The bride consults the revelation that come by the opening of those seven seals. She recognizes those seven thunder mysteries. See, but that cucklebur, the soul of it's a cucklebur. See, the false teachers can rise, teaching all kind of Trinitarianism and everything else, and be anointed with the Holy Ghost and perform just as many miracles as the true gospel can. But by the word here, that's what does it. See what I mean? It's got to be by the word. And notice, watch what we're saying. Now, listen, David had all the emotions that a real revival had. Notice, they shouted, they screamed, they danced. They really got something out of that anointing. And they do it. You can visit the churches. You can see the screaming and shouting. You can see the anointing upon them. You can see they're happy. They're happy. Sometimes you go and get in some of those meetings and you think, man, are we as happy as they're happy? They're jumping and shouting and running around the room and having a jubilee. And that's wonderful. But the only way to tell if it's the real thing is when they get done running, are they hearing the word of God? Are they saying amen to the word of God? And so if you got your choice, you got your choice of all of it. How happy you want to be, how much you want to show your emotion, that's up to you. But the one thing you can't do without, you can do without shouting, you can do without the running, you can do without it if you want to, or if you don't want to, whatever you want to do. You can't do without the revelation of the word. You can't do without the word. That's it. No matter how much anointing you got. See? And so, these false teachers can arise. Let's see, no, am I 2:14? Notice what we're saying. David had all the emotions of the real revival had. They shouted, screamed, they danced. They really got something out of that anointing. And they do yet. Sure did. Like a real revival. But you notice, God was not in it. God wasn't in it. God was not in it. He had a prophet sitting right there in the land that they ought to have known. See, David should have known that. And this, so that's where David failed. And that's where we'll fail if we don't heed to the revelation. And so Brother Branham said, every answer, every need that we have is right here. It's right here in this message. Now let's see what happened when God, in his time and age, and his prophets are not considered. Just depend on theology and priests and denominationism denominationalism like we do today. Now, closely, it all gets messed up. If the true Spirit of God is there, it'll direct it into the Word. If the true Spirit of God is there, it will direct it into the Word. Not just one place in the Word, the entire Word for the entire age. See? Amen. And praise be to God. Yes, it's going to take you into every word. You're not just going to say amen to one part of it and then leave off something else. You're not going to qualify because you said amen to this. And so that's going to make you a true believer. That's not going to do it. It's going to be every word. It's going to be all of it. The day of Pentecost, the Spirit directed it into that. To Joel 2:38. The day of Luther, it directed it into that. What did? The Spirit. The Spirit directed it into that. And that makes me think, and I didn't mention Brother Groom, but I appreciate the Mass Sunday. Where is the God of Elijah? And that we listened, we tried to listen, but the service was so bad in the mountains, sometimes you couldn't call, you couldn't text, you couldn't do anything. And so we listened on Monday as we were coming back down the mountain. And so it was really good and really brought some things to my attention, talking about the fullness and some different things that Brother brought up. But here, in every age, this is also what he's talking about, the Spirit directs it. The Spirit directed it. The Spirit directed it in Elijah's day. The Spirit directed it into what Moses was saying. The Spirit directed it into what Isaiah was saying. The Spirit directs it into what the prophet is saying. What God is saying in this day. Because God sends His Spirit. He sends His Word and anoints it to come to enlighten the people for that day, for that hour. For them to see this revelation. God's not here highlighting another age. He's not highlighting another time. The Spirit now is directing it into this. And that's the reason Brother Branham said, the new birth is Jesus Christ personally revealed to you. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is receiving the word of your day. And Brother Branham said, only the bride will know. That's the difference. When you start talking to somebody and they can't believe the Word of God, then you don't have to say you don't have it, you haven't got there yet. You don't have to say anything. That's up to God. But one thing's for sure, if they're denying the Word of God, they're not there yet. It doesn't matter how good a preacher they are, don't matter what they are, what they've done, doesn't matter anything. If they reject the word, and it can be that they just don't understand it yet, that's fine. Nothing against that. I'm just saying they haven't got there yet when they fail to take every word. And if you're an eagle, you're going to take every word. That's it. If the true Spirit of God is there, it'll direct it into the Word, not just one place in the Word, but the entire Word for the entire age. The day of Pentecost, the Spirit directed it into that. See, to Joel 2:38. In the day of Luther, it directed it into that. In Wesley's day, in this last Pentecostal move, but this is another age. So what did he just say? He took three in at one time. Wesley's day, the Spirit directed it into that. In Pentecost day, the Spirit directed into that. And now, this is not Pentecost, this is another age, and God is directing it into that. This is the calling out of the bride. See? Now, he never said that about any other age. The prophet, God gave him the revelation of the seven church ages. He brought the seven stars, the seven messengers, identified every one of them. He identified their message, and never did he identify any of those seven as calling out the bride. He did it now after Pentecost. He's now saying this is the calling out of the bride. And never until April of 1965 did he ever use the term
bride age. Never call the bride age until then. And he declared that the seventh age ended at the opening of the seals. He said the seals couldn't even be revealed until that age was done. So everything that was called was finished. They were called, all of them that was called under that Pentecostal message, they have all been manifested on the earth. And now God's done with that. And now he's going into another age, another time. This is the calling out of the bride. Not 2,000 years ago at Pentecost, or the repeat, the seventh church age, or the return, the same. See, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was in Luther. The Holy Spirit was in Wesley. It's God's word being anointed. See? And the Holy Spirit returned to the people of the age, and they begin to have the restoration of the gifts. Now you can tell I've cut and cut and cut here. I was telling Brother Michael a while ago, when I got home today, I've been real busy working yesterday, and then I even had to work some today. So I had these quotes. They were kind of put together a little bit, but I had 158 pages. And so I told him, I said, a while ago, I got it down to 44 pages, and I knew it was still way too much, and now I got 31. And so I cut and cut and cut. And so I've tried to take out the little bits here and there and just get right to the point. So, but he's talking about the same thing, but the continuity has changed just a little bit. So the people of that age, God anointed them. God anointed them to look for the promise of the age. And so you say, well, how is that? How does that work? Well, that's exactly what he said about Azusa Street. He said that one-eyed black man, he got anointed. He read the word of God, and God anointed him to say, this is the word, this is the time. And so then God, that's just what God did. And it's the same thing that Brother Branham did. Brother Branham started talking about those seals long before. When he was preaching the church ages, back in the early 60s, that the last of maybe 59, maybe 1960, he was in the book of Revelations, and he's coming through chapter 4, chapter 5, I don't know, maybe he came through all of them there. And so he got to the first three chapters, he took the church ages. And so, and then he went on and continued 4 and 5 and like that. And so he was bringing those things, and he was pointing to the seals. He was pointing to the trumpets. He was pointing to these things that were yet to come. And when he preached those seven seals, then he was really pointing to the trumpets. He was pointing to these things. And he was looking, because he, by that time then, he knew that God had called him to reveal these things. After the seven church ages opened up, that prophet, he was on fire. He knew that this thing was going to happen. And then it got so, God was started doing things, moving things around until it was becoming so powerful right before the opening that he thought he was going to die. He thought God was going to take him. But in the back of his mind, he still knew. He still knew, always was believing that he was to reveal those seven seals. But he couldn't understand it, because the things God was showing him, it looked like he was going to go off the scene. But once those seals opened, that prophet, he declared then, he knew then, he accepted then, he was not doubting whatsoever. He then began, he set up the meetings to preach the seven trumpets. He got the building, he got the thing, he got all of it lined up and got ready for it, and he didn't even have the revelation yet. But he knew that was what God brought him to do. He knew that he was that vessel that God was going to use. And so he was preparing, and didn't even have the revelation. That just astounds me. And then more astounding was that he steps out there and he says, the reason he wouldn't let me preach it is because I already did it supernaturally. It's already been done. Praise be to God. That's why there's so much. That's why, brothers, we got to live in this thing, the only way to live in it, because there's more here than we are getting with this. There's more in here than this is getting. It will take God. And God, in order for God to give it to you, we're going to have to stay in his presence. Brother Branham said, lay in the presence of the Son, and God will ripen that revelation in his bride. See, but now is the bride calling. Now, this is it. Didn't he just say this on the last page here? Yeah. See, now is the calling out of the bride. Now here he is again. Now is the bride calling. Now is when the seven seals has been opened. Now, when the complete things that the reformers left has to be opened. And only Malachi 4 can do that. Because it takes a revelation straight from God to an individual. That's right. It can't come to a group. Never did. One man. And that's what God promised in the shadows of the coming for his bride, an Eliezer, see? That's right. Oh my, praise be to God. It takes a revelation. See, I want to go back up here. Just read this one more time. See, only Malachi 4 can do that. And I was thinking about this earlier today in some of the other quotes that we're going to read. That's the thing that caused some of the people when they started going away from the message. That was the thing. They said, yeah, we know he's a prophet. Yeah, we know he did this and this and this. We know all these miracles. We know all these things. But is he Malachi 4? That's the thing. That's what some of these churches around here, some of the ones different across the country, and maybe in other countries. But that's the things we heard here in this country. That was the final place. They might agree on a lot of things. And say, yeah, he was this and this and this. But we don't know if it was really Malachi 4. We're not sure about that. And so, brother, he couldn't have been anything else but. He couldn't have been anything else but. Because it takes the revelation straight from God to an individual to do so. That's right. It can't come to a group. Never did. Just one man. 336. Don't be children, only in love. See, now he made this statement in invisible union, and now in trying to do God a service, he's making this statement again. Don't be children, only in love. See, be man in spirit and in judgment. Judge ye whether I told you the truth or not. Judge ye whether it's the word of God or not. Judge you whether it's the hour that we're talking about. See, or not. Judge you whether these things are promised. See, they are now, are they vindicated? See, by the things that there's not a human being in the world could do, but it's become so common to us till we're letting it flow right on past us. Wait, church, wait. Oh my. Don't be children. Only in love. Not that we were talking about that the other day. How the children, they're so innocent, and how they love and they forgive and they do all of these things. Be children like that in these things. But when it comes to this revelation, be children. Be grown up. Be mature. Remember, Abraham wasn't in Sodom. This really hit me today, because when we think of Sodom, we think about gays and the homosexual world and the trans and all of the drinking and carousing and the sin and the cities and the world and all of that. But Brother Branham took us to another part of the days of Sodom. And the days of Sodom, Abraham was not in there. Abraham was separated. Abraham had separated himself. God didn't go down to Sodom. There was two messengers went down there that preached to Sodom. God didn't go down there. God was with his elect. and his elect, the reason that God was with him, because his elect had already separated himself away from Sodom and Gomorrah, from all of that. He didn't want nothing to do with it. See, Abraham wasn't in Sodom. He was already called out. Oh, he was what? Called out. The bride is already called out. She's already separated herself. Praise God. And there was one stayed and talked to him, and the one stayed and talked to him showed him a sign. With his back turned, he said Sarah was going to have a baby that he had waited on, amen, with his back turned, and he called him God Elohim. Praise God. Brother, that prophet did the same thing in this day. Turned right around and began to call them out. To call them out. One after another after another. Now, that brings to pass today. See, because we have faith. And I know this is of God. Is because this and other scriptures point to this hour. What was it on Azusa Street? That man pointed to a scripture. And he said, this is the word of God. Now, they've been reading that scripture for 2,000 years. But when that man read it, God, the Spirit of God, came on him and anointed him. And so this prophet of ours, he read the book of Revelations, and God anointed it to become real to him. Because this and other scriptures point to this hour. Revelations 10 said, the hour of the seventh angel's message. When he begins to sound forth his message, not in a healing service, but the message that follows the healing service. Not in the seventh age, but in the message that follows the seventh age. Not in the healing revival that went around the world in the seventh church age, but the message that went around the world after the seventh church age. Works as faith express. But that didn't stagger Moses. When Moses turned around and done a miracle in the name of the Lord, and here stood these impersonators, done the same thing. It was revealed to him. Hallelujah. He knowed by the word of God. He knowed that the word would finally catch up with them. He knowed there's come a time when the word would manifest itself. Couldn't go no further. But yet he had to stand there. Moses had to stand there and be ridiculed and looked down upon and embarrassed and all of those things. Because here he's coming in there with the power of the Holy Spirit. And now Pharaoh is impersonating the same things that Moses is doing. And God's not striking them down. God's not doing anything. He just let Moses' serpent eat up their serpents. But still, they're doing these things. But there was coming a time, God was letting them. Why? Because God wanted them to continue. Because God had power. And so he's building it up. Until finally, Pharaoh had about enough. And he said, just go. And then after they started going, then God hardened his heart because he had some more of his power he wanted to show. And so then Pharaoh loaded up and he's going after them. Then God got to show his power. And so was it in this day. That prophet stood there and there was every kind of impersonator. There was every kind of everything kept rising up and rising up and rising up. And way over in 1965, I knew the time was coming when God would make their folly manifest. You say, well, he was doing it all the time. He was to the bride, but not to the world he wasn't, because to the bride, they're only looking to the word. But to the world, they're looking at these preachers. Every one of them had bigger congregations, bigger churches, bigger ministries, more money, going all everywhere around the world, doing all these great things. And here was this little humble prophet without the education, without anything, looked down upon by many of those big men. That's what's wrong with some of those brothers. That was what's wrong with some of those men that were so close to Brother Branham. They were theologians. They were smart men. They were learned men. And they just, it was just hard for them to think that with all of their knowledge and wisdom and all of their, some of them could speak more languages. They might could have spoke Hebrew and Greek and different things. And here this prophet couldn't hardly speak the English language. It was all broke up and missaid, many words was missaid. And they just couldn't imagine that them knowing all of so much better than him. How many times he would call them to the pulpit to read his lesson because he couldn't pronounce all those names. They couldn't imagine that God was doing something greater through him. They knew the gift and all that, but still they just couldn't. They couldn't think that was it. No. Not a healing service, but the message that follows a healing service. They knew he had that gift, but they just didn't know that he had the word too. See? It was revealed to him. Hallelujah. He knowed by the word of God. He knowed the word would finally catch up with them. He knowed there would come a time that the word would manifest itself and they couldn't go no further. So have I knowed this. All year, see, that's right, that the time would come when any miracle that God sends, a real miracle, there's always a change in the whole system. If God sends something into the church and the whole system's not changed, he sent it in vain. Because God doesn't do all of that unless he's going to turn a corner. He's going to turn a corner. That's the difference. No matter how big the building is, somewhere there's going to be a corner. And Brother Michael knows because he's a mason. He's laid block. He's laid brick. All of those things. When you are building a wall, that's when your helpers learn. Because your mason builds a corner. Now they just use speed leads, but you still got to know how to do that. But in the old days, you took a level and a square. You squared off your corner and you laid the first courses and you built it up like a staircase. Just staggered it up. Every one of those blocks were perfectly on bond. They were split perfectly. You did that on all four corners, and then you put a string from one end to the other end. And then you could let anybody lay. All the helpers could come as their chance to learn. They would rush, they'd rush and get the mud and get the brick, get everything there so they could have some time to learn. And so that string is what kept them straight. But what kept that corner straight was the knowledge of that mason. That mason knowed what he was doing. And so he knew how to keep it square. He knew how to keep it plumb. And he knew how to keep it. When that helper just gets on that string and he just lays them down, goes. And when he proves himself there, then the mason teaches him to build the lead, to turn the corner. So you can go and build that wall for a mile, but somewhere there's going to be a corner. And when it comes to that corner, now it's a complete change. It's a whole new wall. It turns, now you're not on that wall no more. Now you're going another direction. Completely, you're going another direction. And the prophet is telling us, when God does this, it's all new. And that, you see it, you see that's the problem, because the people, the theologians, the churches, even the message people, are trying to hold you back there. They're trying to hold you back there to what God did in another age, what God did through another messenger. And the prophet is telling us it can't be like that at all. It's all new. I'm going to read it again. If God sends something into the church and the old system's not changed, he sent it in vain. When a message goes forth in signs and wonders, there is a message that follows that. When Jesus went forth healing the sick, then come his message. I and my Father are one. I am he. Boy, that tore him up too, didn't it? We're not going to stone you because of these good works you did. We're stoning you because you make yourself one with God. That's the reason why. See, they didn't believe that. They believed his miracles. If you can't believe me, believe the miracles. See, they testify to you who I am. Oh, my glory. Who was first? Moses? Then they impersonated him. But the great truth still remains the same between the right and wrong. They cannot accept the message. They cannot accept the message that's unadulterated from the Word of God. They can't. And Brother Branham is going to call that the pattern. He says that's the pattern in every age, all the way through, is they can't take all of the Word of God. Invisible Union, paragraph 160. And the revelation is the only thing, the revelation of the Word. What is a revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Faith is a revelation, because faith has been revealed to you. Abel by faith, offered by revelation. Faith offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Cain thought they ate apples. And they still got that idea, but it wasn't. It was adultery, serpent seed. And there, when the seven seals opened, it declared and proved it. Huh? When the seven seals opened, it declared it and it proved it. How did it do that? By the Word. It took it right into the Word, opened the Word up, and proved that the Word was identifying what was being said. My book is just out on it. He's talking about the revelation of the serpent seed that was put into that first church age in the Church Ages book, in the expedition. That's what he's talking about right there. And that, I've said it many times, he'd been preaching serpent seed all of those years. And now that the seals were open, he's telling them, God just revealed this. Something more. Everything got deeper, got greater, opened up more and more and more. 163. At the end time, both trees are coming to the seed. See, and proving themselves. And here we are right today, Laodicea and the bride. What do we have today? Laodicea and the bride. Those two ages. That church age, Laodicean church age, and the bride age. One dead, and let the one live. Like those two husbands. One's got to die. You got to die to that husband. You got to die to the world. You got to die to that nature. You got to die to that church age. So that God can, you can be birthed into this age. Neither can you bear God's word son, neither can the church bring forth. See? They know when the word is vindicated, when God spoke back there and lauded out his word to each generation as they come along. Why? How do they know? Because the Spirit in every age was directing it. The Spirit, somebody would be reading the same thing they'd been reading for hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years, and all of a sudden, somebody's reading it, and God anoints them. God anoints them. The Spirit directs it in. Then they talk about it. And then God directs it. The Spirit comes upon other people, and they start saying amen. Praise God. That's the truth. Right in the Word of God. All of a sudden, they're seeing things that have been laying there all the time. Look at yourself for a few minutes. You say, that message you're preaching, Brother Branham, is wrong. Look at yourself a little bit. Let the Holy Spirit search your minds with the Word, and you'll agree with the message. You let the Holy Spirit, he's the prophet of the day. Let him come into your heart right now and examine with the Word of God. And the doubts about the message will be all dissolved. He dissolves all doubts. You find out it's exactly on the Word for this day. You cannot preach Luther's message, see, today. It goes in it, but that's the feet. Huh? That's part of the body. That's the feet. Every one of us has a part of the body. But this part of the body is this day being manifested. You cannot preach Wesley, you cannot preach Pentecostal. Now, when I say that, when I go out on the mission field, and our brother Goomba or anybody, you go out there and you say these things, and they tell you, you got to preach what Paul preached. You got to stay right in that Bible. And this prophet is pointing us to the Word. You can't preach Wesley. You can't preach Pentecostal. We're plumb beyond that. They denominated and died. They're the stock. See? It drops down into the shuck. And what does it bring forth? A shock. Then you'll have no more doubts. See? If you let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you, like the Queen said about Daniel, he was a dissolver of doubts. Paragraph 193. The Pilgrim Fathers were very thankful for their newfound way of life, being separated from the old English denominations and creeds. They could marry to the new anointed Word for their age. I remember now that old husband had to die. That other age had to die. All of that theology had to die. Everything had to die so that the new, they could marry the new anointed Word. See? The new anointed Word of their age, for their day. And so can we be thankful. As pilgrims like Abraham, separated ourselves from the things of the world. All of our associates, Abraham was a pilgrim. And God has separated us from all the dead religions. I'm speaking across the nation now, all the dead creeds. And to what? Separated us. And open to us a new land, a new message for this day. Praise be to God. This is the thing that's calling out the bride. This is where the Spirit has directed it to in this day. It's right into this, a new message for the bride age, to call the bride out. All right, we're going to get to it. We still got a little bit of time. We're going to get to it where he identifies it. Pentecost dried up and died, like Luther and Wesley, the rest of them. It's no more than a bunch of churches pulled together. Good people in there yet has got to come out. Yeah, good people, but they can't stay in there. If they're seed, they got to come out. What did he do? He opened up the seven seals of the last message. You notice that. Seven seals. Which all the mysteries of the seven church ages was sealed with seven seals. That wasn't opened up until the seals broke. And when that opened up, then we look back down through time and we've seen every one of those seven ages and what God was doing and what Satan was doing. That's what that church age book is revealing. That's what the first four seals are revealing. What was happening back there in those seven seals. I mean, in those seven church ages. And then bringing it up. Bringing it up. And in the seal book, he includes the souls under the altar. He includes the sixth seal, the tribulation, all the way through. And he identifies the coming of Christ. Not for any other age, but for this day and for this age. All the mystery of the seven church ages was sealed with seven seals. The reformers didn't have time to do it in their days. No. They didn't live long enough. Because it wasn't predestinated for that day. It wasn't given for that day. The Spirit didn't direct it into that day. The Spirit directed it in this day. So he properly identified it on the second half of that sentence. They didn't live long enough. It was this age that it was coming. But this blessed revelation of the seven seals, it's open to us in this last days from a prophecy that went forth to Arizona. How I asked God the other day, what are you doing with me out here in this desert? Did you know Moses wrote the Old Testament? First four books gives the laws, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. He wrote the Old Testament. And to do that, he had to leave all his associates and loved ones and go into the desert. Isn't it something? The dedication and the consecration that God demands, that God requires. And then, not only that, but to see it type out. The continuity of it. That Moses there did one thing. He had to separate himself from all the people, get alone with God. Then Paul had to separate himself. And here you can imagine, Paul met him on the road to Damascus and was struck down by the light, was blinded. Then he was prayed for, and he received his sight back. He was baptized, and he entered into the revelation of that day, the message of that day. And immediately, he went into the temple and began preaching. Immediately, he began preaching the revelation of that day. As much as he had. He didn't have it all. He was just getting started. He was just telling how the candle got lit. He was just telling them what had taken place. But then, no doubt, he was on fire and wanted, and this is how we would think, I got to get to preaching. I got to get to work. I got to do this and this and this. But God said, no. 3 years. You're going down to the backside of the desert, and I'm going to put you in shape so that when you do go, you're going to have it right. When he went back, he was correcting the rest of them. They were just on fire. And that's great. That's wonderful. But God's prophet is the voice of God. Paul wrote the New Testament. That's right. He wrote Romans, all the rest, Hebrews, Timothy, and so forth. And to do that, he had to separate from himself and go down into Arabia, into a desert for 3 years to get the revelation of God. See? 201. Paul separated and put the word together. That's right. See, well, if it taken that, and they had to go into a desert away from their loved ones. Remember the message? What time is it, sir? How many ever heard it? Say amen. Congregation says amen. Was it exactly right? Not was it almost right, was it exactly right? And I marvel when you listen to that message. When I first began in many years ago, and I'm sure the same. And the people there, they didn't know what was happening. They didn't know what was going on. Brother Branham acted like he didn't know. And there were things he didn't know, I know. I know there were things he didn't know. But when you listen to that message, you would think he wasn't sure about anything. And that's how he titled his message. Sirs, is this the time? He said, I'm not saying it is. He said, I'm asking you. I'm asking you a question. Look at these scriptures and you tell me, is this the time? And the only way you could do that, if the Spirit of God was in you, directing you to those scriptures that he's talking about. Because he was putting them out there. He was putting out Revelations 10 and all these other scriptures. He was putting them out there and telling you, is this the time? Sirs, is this the time? Here, plainly in the word, is it the time now? See? Was it exactly right? Amen. Then, if it was exactly right, we've got the revelation in this last days for the message of the Lord God to gather his bride together. Think about that now. This is the calling. This time, right now, Brother Bram said, this is the calling of the bride. And how is she doing it? Well, we read the quotes where he said that God has come and God is calling the bride. That it's not a person. And then we read this and he's telling us that we have the revelation to gather the bride together. What is it? It's exactly that. It's taking both of those things, both of those thoughts, and putting them together. And it is God now in his bride because he's in the bride form. This is the bride coming. This is the time that God himself is calling out his bride, but he's in her. He's in her calling to every seed, calling to every member, calling to the elected around the world. God is doing it in his wife, in his bride. Praise be to God. See, we've got the revelation in this last days for the message of the Lord God to gather his bride together. No other age has it been promised. It's promised in this age. Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, John 14, 12, Joel 2, 38. Notice that one repeating back. They have compound. Compound means it applied to 2,000 years ago. That was being fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But it also comes back around and says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sometimes you take a scripture and you think, okay, this is it right there. It's fulfilled. Well, it might be fulfilled again. God is the one who identifies it every time it's being fulfilled. Every time. That's what's wrong with man. That's what's wrong with theology. They write stuff off and write it off and write it off. They put it on the board and check it off. Boom. Check it off. Boom. You don't do that with God. You don't do that with God. Those promises is exactly like John the Baptist identified himself in the scripture. Jesus identified himself. What'd they say? Away with such a person. John's a wild man. The church wasn't able to receive it. That's the pattern. There it is right there. That's the pattern. Neither will the church receive it today. Huh? Because God's pattern is that they say, he's crazy. No way. This is not Malachi 4. Yeah, we know he's got a gift. We can't deny that. We see this and we see this. But we don't know if he's Malachi 4. That's the pattern. But to the elected, God is calling to the elected. They know it. Calling the virtuous bride, the word, the state church, the elected lady of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the word. How many believes that? All right then. The bride is always part of the bridegroom. So the bride will not be a denomination. It'll be the word manifested to be the bride. That's what the bride will be. So you look right in here and it's the mirror of what you are. Right here. Praise God. See, he promised to do it. He said how he did. See, he never loses his pattern. He always did it by the pattern. He done it every time by the pattern. He does it again. Calling out his virtuous bride in the last days. The lovely Rebecca waiting for her Isaac. What a beautiful time. The anointed word of God being vindicated before any man that's born to be a son of God. With the predestinated germ into him, see, for this hour. He'll see the message as sure as there's a God in heaven. Martin Luther saw it for his. Wesley saw it for his. Pentecost saw it for his. Now what about you? They went into a denomination. Here's the word condemning it. Telling you that what we're to have today, just exactly Malachi 4 and all these other promises up for the hour. What do you see? What are you looking at? Amen. Here we are. The real, genuine eagles here. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they'll not follow. See? Why? It was in there by predestination. You were foreordained as a son of God. You were in God before the foundation of the world. You're only manifested in this day for his honor and his glory. How can you do anything without honoring his word? Stand with every word of God. Yes, sir. Which you are a part of, that word by predestination. Praise God. In the beginning was the Word. And if the Word was God, then you were in God. The Word, part of that, the part that you were to play was in God, the foundation of the world. And he knew you. And he predestinated you to it. Praise be to God. I was got reading over these things today, and I got to thinking about what Brother Branham said. He said, and my wife and I was talking about the other day when we were in the mountains, and Brother Branham said, if I lived all this time, and at the end, he done away with me, sent me to hell. He said, I would still think and praise him for what he allowed me to be a part of, what he allowed me to do. Then he added to that idea, and he said, if it would be pleasing to him to do that, then I would know that I'm fulfilling his desire, what he wants me to be, what he wants me. He wants me to fulfill a part of his plan that he had in his mind. And he said, I'm willing to do anything he wants me to do. And he said, so whatever he decides, I'm going to be happy to do that because that's what he wants. Now, the theology, the carnal mind says, well, I'll go do this. No, that's you. Now that's you doing it. It's when he's doing it. That's powerful. That's just powerful. But I, from the first time we read those quotes 20, 30 years ago, those quotes are having a different meaning to the bride. Those quotes are having a different effect on us. You just see it. You talk to people. The real bride, they're coming into that. More and more every day, those things are becoming more real. They want one thing, and that is to manifest him. They want one thing, that's to please him. Whatever he wants, that's what they want. That's the spirit of that God is directing in this age, is for that bride to come so in tune with his word that whatever he wants, that's what she wants. It's becoming real. It's just happening to the bride. It's happening. Oh, I tell you, just like that eagle recognized that voice, a real born-again Christian recognized the voice of God speaking through the word. When they see it anointed and vindicated, see, he saw it being, I can't leave this by. Look, he looked up there, talking about that eagle. He didn't see this old hen cluck, cluck, cluck here, join us and go over here, go do this, go do this and that. He saw a being like he wanted to be, sailing in the air, screaming free, high up in the highs, above all the vultures and the things of the earth. Hallelujah. He wanted to be that because it was in him to be that. That's why he wanted it. He was an eagle. It was in him to be that. As soon as he heard the scream, he identified with it and he wanted to be that. Praise be to God. I think I took it out, but Brother Branham was talking in one of the quotes again about when, ever since a child, there was something working in you, and you could see other people do this and do that, and it didn't bother him. He said there was something in you. He said, even before the new birth, even before you knew God, even before you loved him or tried to serve him or tried to do anything, he said there was something working in there. Something was bothering you. Something you couldn't be happy about. It's like that eagle in the barnyard. He went right out there and ate the same thing they ate. He scratched around the same way they scratched around because he didn't know nothing else to do. But there was always something down in there that just was bothering him about it. He couldn't identify it. He couldn't understand what it was. But it just wasn't right to him. Noah was the vindicated word for his day. Do you believe that? Well, this message won't work today. Moses was the vindicated word of his day. You believe that? Amen. It won't work today. Jesus was. John was the vindicated word. You believe that? It wouldn't work in the days of Jesus. Certainly not. No, sir. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of heaven. See? the apostles, them who set forth the Bible, here come Luther out in Reformation. His words, his church won't work today. Wesley's won't, Pentecost won't. It worked in their day. Huh? Why? Because the Spirit directed it in their day. But is not directing it in this day. This is another day. This is the opening of the seven seals. I know it sounds strange to you, but God has vindicated it so perfectly. See, no question to it. Just perfectly. I'm not scattering that to the local assembly. I'm speaking to people out across the nation. See, not just around the world, but for the days to come, for the years to come. I'm speaking to the bride. Do what you want, what you wish to, see? Notice the anointed word of his day, of which you are a part by predestination. You immediately like new. You what? You immediately like new as soon as it came to you. There was something in you. When you heard that, you knew right quick that you was an eagle. You also realized you wasn't a denominational chicken to begin with. You know there was something wrong there. See, there was something wrong. That's right. For you know that you were trapped into it at the beginning. Huh? You were trapped. You didn't have anything to do with it. You were trapped into it. See? Now in closing, we all know. This is what I wanted to get now. And I know, let me see. Okay, we've got a few minutes. but I wanted to get this in there. We all know that the modern church, Pentecostal, in its present condition, all the denominations together, I'll throw them all in one bundle because they are. Oh, you remember, he's going to bundle the weeds first and burn them. He takes all the wheat stalks and burns it up first. Then he takes, come and gets his wheat and takes it home. All gathering into bundles, bundles of Methodists, bundles of Baptists, bundles of Pentecostal. See, well, now it's bundles of message this and bundles of message that. Everywhere you go, this group and that group. See, they're all burned, see? And we all know the modern church in its present condition and its present state is in no condition to finish up the great commission that God gave the church for this day. How many Pentecostals can say amen to that? Congregation says amen. See, now we know that the church could not. The Pentecostal church, by no means, see, could carry out the last day message in its present condition. Could it? Congregation says no. It's going to be an elected people that's elected for it. Praise God. God's got somebody to carry this last day message. God's got somebody that he's anointed to believe every word of this message. Somebody with the revelation of it. Somebody predestinated to do it. Somebody to live it. Somebody to manifest it. God has brought that on the scene. He had it in his mind before the foundation of the world. See? And so do every one of us know that the whole rank of denominationals, Pentecostals, are dead. That is to the born-again Christian of the message. All of it's dead to you. Your first husband is dead. You know he's dead. God let it die. It's finished. All of its scientific, intellectual, educational, scientific ways of so-called Bible schools and things has perished. What's it done? Separated oneness. He's here, two-ness there, over there. See? Such a mess up. And call themselves Pentecostals. And then I took out a paragraph there because now I'm out of time, but Brother Branham had a couple, and he said, they're listening tonight. He had a couple in his office. They were just about to divorce. He said, and he's saying, well, what's the problem? They were different faiths. They were different faiths, and so Brother Branham looked at him. So he asked the woman, he says, so are you Catholic? And she said, no, I'm Pentecostal. And so he turned to the husband, so he thought he knew what the husband was. He said, and you? He said, well, I'm Pentecostal too. He said, but different faith, different church. And it's like, that's what we got in the message now. That's what's happening in the message now. supposed to be believing the same thing. Supposed to be believing the same thing, and they can even divorce. And they're going to the same thing. That's where it's at now. That's where it's at now. 291. Look what kind of sign that Jesus himself, the incarnated God, standing in human flesh. You say that was an angel? The Bible said it was God. Lord God Elohim standing there in flesh, showing that he would so anoint his church in the last days. What did they do that for to Abraham at the tent door? What did he do back there? Showing what he was going to do to the bride. It'd be God working in human flesh again. Was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Same kind of thing. They see it right there in the Scriptures. See? Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You think I'm trying to support ignorance? I'm not. I'm telling you there's a difference between this intellectual age that we're living in, where the church has been impregnated with science and these so-called figured out and everything. You don't figure God out. No, God just fools them every time. It always comes different. In every age, it comes different. In every age, it's different than they got it figured out. See, in Noah's time, did it in Moses' time, did it in Christ's time, did it in John's time, did it in the disciples' time, Wesley's time, Luther's time. It did it in the Pentecost time, so has it again. It don't change its pattern. Always comes the same thing, only reformers through them 6 ages till the 7th. And Revelation 10:7, that in this hour it'll change. And it did. Oh boy, it really did. Now, we're closing now and saying this. Finish up the Great Commission? How could they do it? We know that they're dead. God let it die in this scientific age, all of it. He's not talking about them dying at a future age, at a future time. He is telling us they're already dead and burned. They're already done, dead, finished. God let it die in this scientific age. So he could do what? Open up the seven seal mystery to the undenominational bride. How can a denomination accept those seven seals when it's absolutely contrary, serpent seed, all these other things, the whole, full, seven mysteries is contrary to what they've been taught. Because they took the old school from their Bible school. And the seven seals of God, when it was opened there on the mountain, God, no, let me die right now in this pulpit, if that's not the truth. And I foretold you a year and 6 months before it happened what he told me. Go to Arizona. And what would happen out there on the desert. And there's men sitting right here tonight, was standing there present when the seven angels come down. The magazine, Life magazine, packed the article of it. It's right there in the observatory. Everything. They don't even know what it's all about. And everything has been said. Even to the destruction of California. Coming up now. All these other things. How I told them how many days it would be. How it would be where this earthquake happened in Alaska. Beginning of the signs of the time. And what would take place. And just word by word what it said. See? It's never failed one time. You've never seen it fail. And it can't fail because it's God's words. Heavens and earth will pass away, but it can't fail. That's right. God had to open up those seven seals. Not in a denomination. I've always been against it. But out of a denomination, that he might take a bride. Not a denominational bride. He couldn't do it. It's against his own word. He opened up those seven mysteries in there and shows and brings forth those things that's been hid since the foundation of the world. That it might be in the last days to the Son of God. And they brought that forth now before the people. See, that they might see it there. You now to this undenominational bride. Oh my, praise be to God. The thing to do is separate yourself from sin. Separate yourself from anything that pertains to the world. And we're closing here now. Just give me 1 minute. Let no man by his creed deceive you. You stay right straight in the promise of God, the word of God. And that word, if it's the word for this day, God vindicates it so. Well, how does he do it? He sends his spirit to anoint it. If he doesn't, it's not the word for this day. And the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. That was for Pentecost. This is for the bride. Going home of the bride. We got something different. The Pentecostals represented that again. We're in the bride age. No more than the word of Noah would have worked in the days of Moses. No more than Moses' law would have worked in the time of Paul. He tried to tell him, you're dead to that. You cannot have it. That husband's got to die. You know, you could just preach a whole message on that quote right there, and I love it so much. Listen to this next one here. Bride. What's the title of the message? The invisible. Changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. This mortal shall take on immortality. This mortal, eternal life, will live in this mortal flesh. Immortality, God, will live in this mortal flesh. It is an invisible union. It is a secret rapture of the supernatural bride. Praise be to God. You people that's gathered in those churches where those faithful little groups that's believed this message with all their hearts, they've come out. They've come out of great tribulation. Come out through those denominations. Think about it. Think about what he's saying, that you came out of. Think of the persecution. Think of the tribulation. I don't know, Brother Goomba, if you ever identified with this right here, this scripture right here. But I think about the times when you were standing and all those preachers are turning against you and all of them was fighting against you and you were standing alone for this word. That persecution, that tribulation, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about that come out of that great tribulation, coming out of that denomination, coming out of all of those man-made ideas and all those creeds and all those different things. And not just the preachers, but every one of you, every one of us, have done that when you separated yourself from the world, when you separated from your friends, when you separated from them ideas and from the things that the world does, and you separated yourself from that. And they looked down upon you and they talked about you, and you went through persecution and tribulation for the word of God. That's what he's talking about. Germs of life. Do you feel the urging tonight, like that little eagle? Do you hear something that's a little different from what you've heard? And you, in your heart, you know that is the truth. And notice, not only is the bride washed, forgiven, but she's justified. See? Did you ever try the word justified to see what it means? It means you never did it. Praise be to God. Paragraph 164. Therefore, the message calls the bride together. See? The shout and the trumpet. The same one, he, with a loud voice. He screamed out with that shout and a voice and woke Lazarus. With a loud voice, he cried, Lazarus, come forth. See? And the voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. And the trumpet, with the sound of a trumpet, when it does, it calls. Always the trumpet called Israel to the feast of the trumpet. See? Which was a Pentecostal feast. And the great feast in the sky. And the feast of the trumpets. And now a trumpet announces a calling together. Come to the feast. And now that's the Lamb Supper in the sky. Now watch. The assembling together and the bride, the feast of the trumpets, the wedding supper, we have seen it in types. Now watch just a moment before we close. See, we've seen it in types. Amen. And now we are in that spiritual feast We are feasting upon that spiritual food that God has given us in this day. Amen. Praise be to his lovely name. So let us stand together as we look to him. And I'll ask Brother Goomba if he'll come and dismiss us in prayer tonight. And if he wants to say something, you can feel free. I was going to close, but I just like to give him the opportunity.
God bless you. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. That was a heavy one. You're not going to sit down because I'm not going to talk long. So I just wanted to. That was great. That was very deep. And Brother John seems to be on fire, and that's good. We love it like that. Yeah, I was really looking at one of the things he said. He said so many things. I can take that sermon and maybe preach. Maybe 40 sermons, something like that. 40 sermons. I can take every line that he's talking so much. I mean, it's so deep. It's compact. It's really compact. Yeah, one of the things he said is about, and I looked at it, I said, okay, that's exactly the truth about how a scripture can have multiple meanings. And the prophet talks about that, and he says, you remember when he said, but I'll take my son out of Egypt. I went to the Bible one time, and I found out that Abraham did not only go to America when wanted to take his wife, but also Pharaoh wanted to take Sarah from him. And that's not very many times said, but that's exactly right. That was his son that was being taken from there. And he'd gone there because of hunger. That's Abraham. And then you come about Jacob. Jacob is his son. Then he comes and takes his son from Egypt. Same scripture, just one scripture. And then he comes and just goes there. When Jesus is born, they hide him there in Egypt. Now he goes there and takes his son from. So one scripture can say this, and then tomorrow it says this. Just the same scripture, but different meanings. And that was very good. So may God bless you, Brother Don, for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight, for your feeding us, Lord, the way you have done. It's so great, Lord. It's so sweet, Father. We like that voice, Father, when you speak to our hearts, Lord. We are your children. We are like that ego, Father, when he hears the mother's voice, Lord, is so sweet. It's the sweetest thing, Lord God, in the hearts of the bride. Father, we come because of our mom, Lord, Michael's mother, Father. I know, Father, the brothers have talked to you about it, Lord, but, Father, we bring her again on your laps, Lord. We pray, Father, that you give her relief, Lord. I know when she's suffering like that, my brother is, and his wife and Rebecca, Lord God, and Cameroon, Lord, they're not comfortable when they're seeing that, Lord God, before them. And Lord God, we are with them in it, Lord, and we pray for mom, Lord, that you have mercy upon him. My wife said she has some backache, Lord. We commit her to thee, Father. And every other need in the midst of your children, Lord, we commit them to thee, Father. Be with us now, Lord. We pray, Father, that you help us to surrender more, Father. We want to become complete prisoners, Lord God, to your word, Lord, is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen.